It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I am really impressed with the NL West what it's done, especially really sneaky and late. They got Snell. But the Giants really made some big moves this offseason. The Dodgers, they're the super team. We all know that. I've still got questions about the Dodgers. Arizona, that unbelievable run and the confidence that they probably accrued by that run as a young team, they've added on. I think they're considerably better. I think it's the best division in all of baseball. That remains to be seen. Your takes will go one at a time. Let's go with the Giants.
You know, they in particular have had such a hard time over the past three off seasons trying to lure that big fish. And regardless of how this big fish came to them, they were patient enough to be in the right spot at the right time. And, you know, I think Brandon Blake is a huge, huge get for them, especially in that ballpark. I hate it playing at that place. It's just not a fun place to play. It's cold. Ball doesn't go anywhere. He is going to – I think he's going to thrive there. I think it's a bonus that Bo Mel is there too, because the one thing I can tell you about Blake is – he is a creature of comfort. Once he's comfortable is when you get his best. There was a reason why it was up and down the first couple seasons. He just hadn't got comfortable. He had a new pitching coach, and then he had another new pitching coach, and then Ruben kind of got in there. He settled, and then you got what you got, which was a Cy Young. I think it's good that Bo Mel is there. He'll have a familiar face and someone he knows and can trust to help him get going. After watching the four games, Jungo Lee is a dude that is a lot farther ahead than what Ha-Seong Kim was when he came over to the big leagues. I mean, everything about him in terms of how he puts together an at-bat, the way he can go get it defensively, he just understands the game really well. I think he's a further ahead, and I think that's a bonus for them. Obviously, the other pieces, you know, with Webb there, they have added the right kind of pieces. So they're no longer this team that, you know, has to platoon different guys. They actually have a solid base now. And they'll still do the platoon thing in certain spots, but I think that team is a very, very impressive. They had the bullpen looks really good for the Giants right now. So they got a lot of good things working.
Yeah, I agree with you on the home field advantage. I tell that to people all the time. I said, what people don't talk about, and they won those games, those World Series with Boach on the off years, three in that short period. Nobody likes to go to San Francisco and play. It's cold in the middle of the summer. It's acting like it's winter. Yep. And for you, a left-handed hitter, right field, over to center, it's as big a ballpark in the history of ballparks. It's horrible. Yeah. I hated playing. Candlestick was a nightmare. Then I didn't like playing there. Oakland's always cold and dewy, and the ball doesn't go anywhere. I think it's a built-in home field advantage. Now you add these players that we mentioned, and they added Chapman at third. I think that really shores up their defense. Solar hit 36 homers a year ago. What I'm interested to see is not only Snell. If Snell can be the guy he was a year ago, coupled with Webb, and they got a guy by the name of Robbie Ray, who won a Cy Young a few years ago, fell a little bit below expectations in Seattle, coming back from Tommy John, Sometimes guys come back stronger. It's going to be really interesting to watch that rotation to what's already, for me, a stellar NL West. Let's move to Arizona Diamondbacks. A year ago, unbelievable run they went on. If you said they were going to the World Series, I think you're lying. But we all watched it. They've only gotten better. They added Montgomery. Eugenio Suarez came over from the Seattle Mariners. I'm looking at who else they got. Gallen and Kelly at the top of that rotation. They re-upped Gurriel, Moreno, Rodriguez they signed, I believe, from Detroit.
Yep.
Perdomo at short. I really liked him. I think he made two or three errors a year ago. Your take on the Arizona Diamondbacks?
I think you hit on it as we led into this. The confidence that they gain from going to the World Series, I'm sure, is more than perhaps what you could do bringing in somebody, right? I mean, they've already did it with the group, the core group that they have. And so their confidence is already bubbling. So now you add Eugenio Suarez, who he comes in from Seattle to shore up the third base spot that Longo was at. You miss a Perdomo. He kind of came into his own last year. So he's coming back in with a boatload of confidence. You have Marte back, you know, they have, I mean, and obviously Carroll is the guy that makes that offense kind of go. And so all these guys are coming back. You throw on top of that Eduardo Rodriguez. They have a team that you're going to have to deal with. Now, are they going to be better than they were last year? I think it remains to be seen. I think, to me, even though they've gone to the World Series, they're still in a kind of prove it mode, right? Because a lot of the guys are in their second year of being, you know, trying to keep that level of play up. And so the one thing the Diamondbacks are always going to be, especially with Lovello at the helm, is they're going to be well coached. They're going to play the game. Right. And they're going to press you. They're not a team that is fearful of, you know, whatever your roster is. They think they can go out and win, and they can do it a whole bunch of different ways. They can slug. They probably one of the best base running teams in terms of pressing you, going first to third, being able to steal bags. I remember early in the season last year, it was before everybody started to settle. They hit Carroll, McCarthy, and the young center fielder, his name is Thomas, back to back to back. And it turned into an absolute track meet, and there was nothing we could do about it at all. And so I know those guys aren't hitting close. That's just the kind of talent that they have on that team. And so they're going to be a team that's you're going to have to do it. As you said, National League West is probably the best division in baseball. You know, obviously the Rockies, I don't know exactly what they're doing at this point, but
yeah, Rockies, they're the team that really kind of they're the Oakland A's of the AL West. Yeah. And I think it's interesting with these new rules in the game and the two disengagements, the rule, I think these you're going to see more and more. And I see what they're doing now. They didn't want to change the game. They want to encourage the guys to start running again. Saw it a year ago with the base stealing numbers were really up. I think that's good for the game. And I think it gets back to playing a little more old-fashioned baseball, which I think a lot of people love. I think the last time we really saw it was probably in 2016 when the Royals won. They had that type of team that went first to third, ran the bases, you know. And
Diamondbacks in a lot of ways remind me of the Angels when they were in that early.
Oh, with Socia.
Oh my gosh.
Unbelievable.
If you, as an outfielder, you used to go into that series and you knew if
yes.
there was any mistake at all, they were going to capitalize on it every time. That's who the Diamondbacks kind of remind me of.
Yeah. And it puts pressure on the outfielder. Just that simple throw.
Yep.
It becomes a no. I know they're going to run right in my face. I remember, I'm going to tell this quick story. There was a guy named Sean Figgins, early 2000s.
You remember Sean? Yep.
And Sean could run the bases. And I'll tell you, I knew we'd go infield in, Sean Figgins on third base. They're going on contact, even though I'm standing on the grass. Right. And, you know, I'm sitting there, don't they know who I am? I'm That sucker would run on me and throw me into a full panic. Like, nobody runs on me when I'm infield in. I'll tell you what, Sean Figgins did, and they made my wheels start spinning. I remember our pregame meetings was like, these guys will run. Ichiro, you know how nobody's used to running on you? They will run on you, so be ready. They don't care. Yeah. You know, and you find the more pressure you put on people, you can get people to make mistakes. It's really interesting, but I think the team that really embraces these new rules and really runs the bases, I think you're going to see a lot of success from that type of baseball. Putting the ball in play, running the bases like we used to run the bases.
It was like last year, the teams that did it seemed like they were doing it out of necessity because the rules were new. They didn't have the roster to kind of like outslug you. So they take on that, we're going to run the bases. But I think by the end of the last season, I think all 30 teams started to see where the value was in it. And you're already starting to see roster comfort, you know, the way they can form a roster now, you're starting to see it change a little bit. And it's because those rules exist that you can take advantage of.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And that brings us to the bad guys in the division, the Dodgers, who obviously start the offseason with the Yamamoto signing, the Shohei Ohtani signing. This roster, they're so deep. For me, I want you to give me your take on what I've been calling a super team, the LA Dodgers. Yes. Yeah. And then, but I have a couple concerns. I'll touch on those after I get Tony Gwynn Jr.'s take on the LA Dodgers.
I mean, listen, when you bring in a guy like Shohei Ohtani alone, right, that changes the dynamic of your team, especially when you add him to a bunch of winners that they have already in Mookie and Freddie and Will Smith. I mean, Jay Hay. I mean, they have a lot of talent, but they have a bunch of really good locker room guys that can kind of keep this ship in order, because as you mentioned, when you got a lot of egos, it can make it a little bit more difficult, but they have a good makeup in terms of how this roster's put together. Now, they're the creme de la creme of Major League Baseball, not just the National League. They are the team in terms of on paper, the team to beat. Now, we saw him for two games. I'm interested to see, I know he had a better performance, but Yamamoto, I want to see if he's going to stick with his fastball, because when you watch it, it's pretty straight. There isn't a lot of movement on it. And typically in the past, when we've seen pitchers from Japan come over, they start out throwing that fastball. And if there's not a lot of movement at the big league level, no matter how hard it is, it's going to get hit. What happens at that point? His command in his last start, where he didn't get the decision, was much better, because he was – when you're throwing 97 in the middle of the plate, even at this level, it's going to get hit. And that's what happened in that first start. He was getting hit around, balls in the middle of the plate. I'm interested to see how he adjusts in terms of how he's going to use his fastball at the big league level. I don't see a lot of flaws with this Dodger team. The defense might be the thing that can come back and bite him. How is Mookie going to transition over? I think he'll be fine. Second base with Gavin, he's got the I don't want to say the yips, the thing. He's got something going on.
I'll say it. He's got the thing. He was supposed to be the shortstop.
He was right, and so they've had the kind of ad lib already. Third base, we saw that earlier. How's Max going to? I know he's put himself in better shape to hopefully be able to move a little bit better. I think that's going to be a question mark. So defensively is where I see them having some issues. If that's going to be the spot, they're going to get Walker back at some point to add to this rotation that already has, you know, some studs in it, some young studs at that. But as we saw last year, no matter how good it looks on paper, You still got to go out and win the games on the field. Can they do that? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, I look at this team, and you can't find a better threesome than a Betts, Ohtani, Freddie Freeman. That's as good as it gets. And it's a long lineup, too. You got the Outman kid in center field, really good player. You got the catcher. They just signed him to – they just signed him to a 10-year deal. Underrated catcher, really
very good underrated player.
I mean, that's Muncy. You know, he's going to hit you 35 home runs. But my questions are similar to yours. If Mookie Betts makes this transition to shortstop and is a solid shortstop for 150 plus games, it'll be one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in baseball.
Without a doubt.
Because you can't just do that. I could go to second base, play it all day long. But if you came to me and said, Booney, shortstop went down, we're going to need you to play short this year. You talk about a full panic. I can't do it. I can fill in maybe for a couple games, that ball at me to my left. I'll make it look like I've been playing short my whole life. But I go into that hole, my feet get all tangled up. That's why I played second base. Plus, I didn't have that cannon of an arm from short. But if he does it, I don't think people will recognize how impressive that is to just, I played short in high school. I'm a right fielder in the big leagues. And on this super team now in 2024, I'll just shore up the defense by playing short for you. No problem. I talked to Jerry Harrison. He said, Booney, if anybody can do it, it's this guy. From what I've seen early, I agree. I mean, if not the best athlete at the in the game right now, definitely in that conversation as the best athlete. That's going to be really interesting for me to see. I watched Yamamoto's first start. He kind of reminded me, he pitched like Tanaka, the pitcher for the Yankees.
Control
that split, but almost like I'm scared to throw the fastball. When you get hitters, big league hitters, and especially really astute lineups, knowing you're scared of the fastball, you're in trouble because they're going to get up in the box, sit on your neck, and that split's great. But you got big league hitters sitting on it every time, and you prove to them you're scared to throw the fastball. That's another adjustment that's going to have to be made. He's been great. I'm not saying we're two starts in.
Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of myself. This guy obviously is pretty coveted to get that kind of money. He did a great job in Japan. That remains to be seen. That's a question for me. But then I look at that rotation. Now, if everything goes great, everybody's healthy. If Glasnow's great for 30 plus starts, he's a bona fide number one for me. No question about it. You get into a Walker Buehler. He comes back and is the Walker Buehler we know. Unbelievable. That's first tier. Who else we got? Kershaw. He's coming back. It's kind of nice, even though Kershaw's getting up there in age, having him as your fifth starter. That's pretty good.
Slow play that one too with the depth they have.
And this kid that pitched that I watched, Miller. He looks nasty.
Yeah.
So it's no question that the Dodgers have the talent top to bottom, but there are question marks. Glasnow hasn't proven that he can stay healthy. Walker Buehler is not on the field. Yamamoto is not a proven commodity. So, yes, if everything goes as planned, this is a super team. But still, there's a lot of what ifs, and I've got to see them before I just say, they're going to win 115 games this year. We'll see. That remains to be seen.